Don't starve.
You're going to turn to Ecclesiastes. We'll be there for the next few weeks. Welcome if you're watching online. I'm telling you, I'm sorry you have a flu. If you're watching, welcome. I designated Luke as our staff. He's going to wear a tie. So I can't too bad on the suit. So, I told you that. That was my one goal in life. Is my one physical fitness goal is better wear my pants. I can't wear it. So until the Biggest Loser kicks in, and it probably won't because I don't think I'm the Biggest Loser. It's not going well for me. So Luke, just keep wearing a tie. I like it for everyone. And you can represent all of us. If I asked you a question today, if I said, hey, I need y'all to meet me here at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I walked out, it wouldn't go over well. First of all, some of you are so obstinate you wouldn't come. And then a lot of you just have, you can't trust. You're like, nah, that's not good enough. You would want to know why. If I said, can you just trust me? You're like, no, I can't just trust you. Tell me why. And the reason you want to know why is this. Basically boils down to what's in it for me. Tell me why I need to be here at 9 a.m. in the morning. For some of you, you're off work, it's a holiday. But even if you weren't, it would be like, hey, what am I doing? What's in it for me? And that's perfectly understandable. It's human nature. But on short-term things, I want us to kind of grasp this thought as we go. On short-term, we ask that question. If I said, hey, next Friday, everybody meet up here. This time, you say, well, why? Short term, we have a tendency to question why we're doing that. But long term, we struggle that a little bit more. Long term, when it comes to big picture in life, we don't always ask the question, why are we doing what we're doing? In other words, we get caught in a trap sometimes of doing things over and over and over, and we never ask ourselves, why do I do this? Why do I continually work this job that I hate? Why do I continually live without any peace and any joy? Why do I continually chase money all the time and work too many hours most of the time? Why do I continually do all these things? We have a habit of not asking those questions. The book of Ecclesiastes is a different book. Okay? First of all, I want you to understand a couple things. God speaks to us in different ways. God can speak to us with those song lyrics. He most certainly can. God can speak to us through another human being, especially a Christian who's in the Word and somebody who may be further along you. God can speak to us through those people, but He can speak to us through anyone. God can speak to us through a sermon, but God primarily speaks to us through His written Word. But now He can speak to us in a lot of different forms. Understand that. Inside His written Word, there's a lot of different forms. We've got, if we go back to the history, we've got Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. We've got all of that. Then we can go into Paul's epistles or Paul's letter. We've got the Gospels. We've got prophecy. We've got books of wisdom, which is what Ecclesiastes falls under. But even under the books of wisdom, it's a little bit different. Proverbs is kind of like this. Proverbs has given us proverbs to live by. Better live on the corner roof than on the quarrelsome wife. I don't know why that one come to mind. But that's one of the Proverbs. Okay? Proverbs are basically adages or good or sayings that if you live them, most of the time these things will happen. That's probably not always going to happen because people always want to say this. Well, the Bible says if you train a child up in the way, in the end, you'll return from it. It's a proverb. It's not 100% of the time. It's going to happen. Most Proverbs, but Solomon, when he wrote that, most of that stuff was kind of positive. When we read Ecclesiastes, if you're not careful, you'll think it's a cynic writing. It's a very cynical tone if you don't quite understand it. But in reality, it's a very realistic book. It's actually dealing with realism. And it may be a form of cynicism. But I want you to understand this, that Solomon, who wrote this, had a lot of things going on. He had tasted a lot of things in life. And the point of this book, we'll get to it here in a moment, is not that is it meaningless. Is that yes, everything in life is meaningless without Jesus. That's the bottom line. And so that's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. We're not going to do a year-long study of one book again. We're going to do Ecclesiastes for a few weeks. And here's what we're going to ask. Is life meaningless? That's the book he gives. That's the words he uses here. It says, everything is meaningless, is the title. I'm in the NIV, just because I don't know where NASB is right now. It says, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, Solomon starts out with this. He's given us the words of the teacher. By the way, some liberal scholars contest that Solomon wrote this. There's just too much evidence. They say, well, it's not the same writing. Who cares? Okay? If I write something at 5:30 in the morning, it's not going to be very well written. If I write something at 10 o'clock at night, which is usually when I'm wide awake, it'll be better written. Okay? Solomon just might have wrote something different. I do believe it was Solomon. He gives too much evidence. It says, son of David, king of Jerusalem. How many of those were there? It says the words of the teacher, but Solomon has given us advice today. He's not speaking from a kingly point of view, from a royal point of view. He's not looking down. He's giving us advice like a teacher would. He's teaching us. Why? The best teachers, you know, are the ones that have lived it. I don't want a history teacher who's never studied history, who's never went and explored history, or hates history. I want a history teacher who loves history. Solomon has lived these things he's going to talk to us about. He's the teacher. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now the NIV says this, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. That's kind of what we get throughout this book. Everything is meaningless. Now the word that he uses there is babel, which some people say it goes all the way back maybe to Abel, but it means a vapor or a breath. The best way it's translated in the English is vapid. We don't use that word very much. To be honest, and Solomon uses this word 38 times in the book. So it's kind of a big deal in this book. But to be honest, one word is not a good translation in every instance. Sometimes meaningless words, sometimes absurd words, a little better, but you get the point. The word that he used there in the Hebrew means meaningless. He says meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, when we think about things that are meaningless, we can go on and on, right? For some of you women, you think it's utterly meaningless for a man to sit outside in 10-degree weather and look at a deer or try to shoot one.
Just
and you're like, that's crazy. For men, you think it's utterly meaningless for women to decorate their house and close their eyes. Right? You're like, what does it matter? Probably last week in small groups, I mean, we had 12 or 13. I imagine, I know at least frantically 4 or 5 of them because they told me the women and the kids were cleaning the house. The men were probably sitting around watching the NFL like, what are you cleaning the house for? It's no big deal. Nobody cares what the house looks like. That's the way men think. Okay? They think it's meaningless to clean a house. Women think it's meaningless to sit in a deer stand when it's 10 degrees. Okay? We all have our idea of meaningless. To me, it's the Department of Education. But I'm not going to digress. Okay? That is just the definition of meaningless. I don't know why. But we're not going to go there. But here's the point. I want you to understand. Solomon starts with this. Then he goes on to say in verse 3, what does a man gain from all his labor? And this is a business term that only Solomon used in the Bible. We also have some reference to it in the New Testament, though, where it says, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So what Solomon uses as a business term, what do you gain? In other words, what can you score financially? What do you gain from all your labor at which he tolls under the sun? This is the next most common used phrase in this book, and he uses that 29 times. So now we have meaningless used 38 times, and we have under the sun 29 times. What does that mean? That means on this earth. Here's what Solomon is saying. Everything is meaningless on this earth. So far, stay with me. Everything is meaningless. And so the New Testament translation for that would be the world, where we say, if you love the world, if you have love for the world. And so what Solomon is saying, everything on this earth is meaningless. So far, so stick with me. But he also uses another phrase, and another word, it's not here yet, but he uses the word joy. And so it's not a cynical point of view saying, this world is just terrible, God's doomed us. He gets to this point that everything, again, without Jesus is meaningless. The point of life is not to chase things. The point of life is to have joy in Jesus Christ. That's the point of life. So then he goes on to say, generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and buries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, and ever returning on its course. All streams flowing to the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. Have you ever thought about that? That sounds like a question that one of my kids have asked. Hey, how come all the streams flow in the sea and never get full? They just do. How come the wind goes from the north, goes south, and yet it just comes back again? How come the sun rises, and we know the sun doesn't literally rise, the earth is rotating? But why does the sun rise and set every day? I know some of y'all are questioning if the sun actually rises now, because it hasn't lately. But the sun rising, what Solomon's talking about here is this. He's talking about not just the cyclical nature, but what he's talking about is, he's talking about how nothing really changes. Okay? Think about it like this, ladies. And I don't mean this derogatory in any sense. I know we're in the South, I'm home, I'm getting in trouble. But think of it like this. How many times a week do we pay to do laundry?
DVC Sanctuary. There it is.
And then you're like, I didn't do laundry yesterday.
Third.
But if you're at our house, it's full the next day. You know, and then you do laundry again, and then guess what? It's there again.
Yeah.
And you do it again, it's there again. Same thing with dishes. Even if you put them in a dishwasher. It's just like the dishwasher is always full of laundry.
How I did it.
It never ends. And that's kind of what he's talking about here. It's like we get caught up in all this stuff. We get caught up in the cyclical things, and it's like it never ends. For humans, it kind of goes like this. When you're in middle school, you say, I can't wait to get to high school. And it's going to be so much fun. And when you get to high school, you say, I can't wait to get my license. And when you get that license, you're like, I can't wait to go to college. And I'm going to live away from mom and dad. And you realize washing clothes is not fun. But you're on your own. You're like, you go to in college, you're like, I can't wait to get out of college and get a job and get my own house. And then you say, man, I can't wait to get married. I'm so proud. Then you say, well, I can't wait to have kids. And then you say, I can't wait my kids to get out of the house. And then you say, I can't wait.
If it's here, maybe.
And it's like, when does it end? When are you going to be satisfied with where you are right now? It's kind of what Solomon's getting at here. You see, it goes on and on and on. It's just, when does it end? Now, I'm not fully recovering sportsaholic, but I, in the past, watched a lot more sports than I do now. In fact, this year, I watched Alabama play every game, and I watched Auburn play almost every game, and that's the only college football I watched. And I only watched, maybe one NFL game a week. I didn't watch much this year. Now, that's a big accomplishment for me. But as I was thinking about this, I'm thinking, I used to get all excited and I'd watch these games and watch NFL every game and every playoff and all this stuff. And it's like, when does it end? It ends, you're like, okay, on to next year. It's the same thing every year. It keeps going and going. And it's like, we live for these moments. We do it weekly as well. We get up. We go to work on Monday through Friday. We have the same routine. We go out to eat on Saturday. We come to church on Sunday. And we get up and do it all again.
Hit log out. It's still chomping.
And yet we never question why. And that's what Solomon's talking about here. He's like, it never ends. It keeps going and going and going. It's like this cyclical nation or cyclical cycle that we're in. And it just keeps pouring in the sea. And the winds never change. And we all know that. It says in verse 8, all things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough seeing, nor the ear is full of
pictures.
So more than you can say, more than you can see, and more than you can hear. Think about it like this. Those of us that like to talk, you can keep talking all you want, but there's always going to be more to say. There's always going to be more to hear. There's always going to be more to see. For those of you that are Netflix junkies or whatever it is, and you're always, I can't wait for the next release of this. I can't wait for that. There's always going to be something else better for you. There's always, I can't wait for this. Or I can't wait for that. It's like we're never satisfied with anything. That goes in movies. That goes in sports. You see, we're never satisfied. And that's what Solomon's getting at in this book. By the way, today I just want us to get a grasp of where we're going to go with this. Because what we're going to look at eventually is this. That even religion which we don't, we have a relationship, understanding, but even organized religion without Jesus is meaningless.
Did he get some of it?
And we're going to look at work, money, pleasure, the American dream, all those things. It's not that Solomon's saying these things are bad. It's not that he's saying any of this is bad. It's not that the wind blowing and the rivers flowing the sea are bad. It's that all this stuff is meaningless when our perspective is wrong. And that's the way our eyes will never see enough. If you're looking at pornography, then it's just going to never end. You're never going to be satisfied. Same thing, if sports is your high, you're never going to get enough. By the way, I won't get too sidetracked, but one of the things I'm starting to see is my kids are in it. I think Little League sports is meaningless. I just do. I know some of you are going to throw stones at me for that, because we play like late games and early games, and all it does is make the kids tired. And it's like, I just think that can start in middle school, it'll be fine. I mean, that's just me. But I think it's more for the parents than it is the kids. And I think Little League is just kind of crazy. It's fun when they're five because they have no clue what they're doing. And they run the wrong way. That stuff is funny, okay? But once they kind of know, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I think that Little League may be meaningless. I am digressing, so let's keep going. It says in verse 9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of any which one can say, look, this is something new. It was here long ago. It was here before our time. Now, this is not what Solomon's saying. Solomon's not saying, well, in, you know, a couple thousand B.C., there was no Apple computer. That's something new. It's not what Solomon's saying. Okay? Solomon's saying this. Human nature hasn't changed. There's really nothing new. If you boil it down to this, what was Eve's downfall in the garden? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life? Guess what? We're still falling prey to the same thing. The devil still trips us up the same three things that tripped Eve up. If I could read you a newspaper from first century, I could read you a newspaper from this time. Guess what Solomon's going to address? Guess what he's going to address in his book? He's going to address guilty people who aren't charged and who are still allowed to do things. I won't call any names, okay? Just try to stay apolitical. He's going to address crooked politicians. That's 99.9% of them. Okay? He's going to address that. It's in this.
Looks like
he's going to address the poor. He's going to address so many things. He's going to address incompetent leaders. He's going to address materialism. He's going to address, there's even a verse that says, don't long for the good old days. And some of us do that. He's going to address all that. Guess what? You say, well, how did he know that was all going to be going on in 2008? He knows human nature. Nothing's changed. Here's what you have to understand about this book. When Solomon writes this, he's got it covered. He's been the king. So, he's had
maybe
the power.
Maybe that was the
he's had some success. Maybe that's some of you.
Turn off access.
He's got plenty of wealth. He's got fame. The Queen of Sheba can have this weird
story.
I'm
going to
pick his
brain.
He had women.
We've got to do that every day.
Which would question the next one I'm going to say. What's your order? Because I don't know any man that wants a thousand wives. Okay? Honestly, Jacob proved you can't keep two of them happy. There's no way you can keep two women happy if you're married to two different women. I don't know how Solomon did it with a thousand. Okay? He probably didn't care. He was the king. But Solomon asked for one thing. God said, what do you want? He said, I want discernment. I want wisdom. He had that. He's wise. He's got all the women he wants. He's got all the money he wants. He's got all the fame, all the power. He's got everything. He's tasted everything. And yet he still writes, everything is meaningless on the sun. But yet we live our life like Solomon. We're trying to attain Solomon. We try to attain riches and pleasure and fame and fortune and all those things, and we just keep going in the same. You say, well, what does sports have to do with it? Sports fills a void a lot of time in our lives. And a lot of times we push our kids into it. And that's for our own self-fame.
our own self-glorification. I'm not talking to me. All these things that we do, again, none of them are bad in and of itself. Sports is not bad. It teaches kids character. It teaches them how to win, how to lose, how to be a teammate. It teaches a lot of things. It's like there's nothing inherently wrong with your money unless it becomes your God. There's nothing wrong with keeping a clean house unless it becomes your God. There's nothing wrong with these things, but Solomon says, I've tasted all these things. I've chased all these things. These things have become my God. And here he is at the end of his life writing and saying, all this stuff's meaningless. And it's kind of like my grandpa writing this. And it's funny, if you watch, grandparents are much better with kids than parents are. And you're like, why? Well, a lot of it is they don't have to keep them all the time. That's a lot of it. But a lot of it is they've learned from their mistakes. And you see here, I Lori and I talk all the time, and I say, I wish I could do that year over with, or this part over with, because I was impatient with my children. But I can't do it over again until I get grandkids. That's the next chance. That's why grandparents are better with kids. That's why when kids spill things in the restaurant and they salt their body, the parents get mad, and the grandparents say, he's just a kid anymore. Because they understand that. And they're right. That's why when parents are overprotective or underprotective, grandparents usually see things a little bit better. Here's Solomon. He's at grandparent stage, and he's warning you. Now, for some of you, it's borderline too late. I'm just being honest. But for anybody else, I mean, you know, it's never too late to change. But if you're really a young person, right, Solomon's telling you, don't change. All this stuff is meaning. Nothing has changed. There's nothing new under the sun. There were crooked politicians then. There are crooked politicians now. Nothing has changed. Everything is meaningless without Jesus. That's the bottom line. So let me show you this. I always want us to start with the end in mind. Ecclesiastes 12. Sorry, media guys, I didn't give it to you. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says this. And 14. He says, now, this is the last two verses of the book. Now, all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. That's a scary thought. That can be a very scary thought. But he summed it up with this. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And what you like to is just love God with your faith, mind, and soul.
It did look
like it's the greatest commandment. So Solomon writes all this down. He says, I've tasted pleasure, I've had women, I've had power, I've had fame, I've had all that stuff. In 2018, it would be like this. You insert whoever you want to, Tom Brady, The Rock, Chris Hemsworth, Derek Jeter. I don't care who you think has got it all together. You say, man, he's got looks, he's got money, he's got women, he's got all that stuff. Let me tell you something. At the end of the day, none of that stuff matters if they don't have Jesus. It just doesn't. And that's the same for us. None of this matters. It doesn't matter if your kid makes a 36 on the ACT if they don't have Jesus.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if your kids all stay in sports if they don't know Jesus. It just doesn't. It doesn't matter if you gain the world financially but lose your soul.
Right.
And so look, I'm talking to me. When I say all this, when I prepare this, it's not fun. I do it all the time. And one of the things that God's really got on me about this week is my daily Bible time with my family. Leading my family in that daily Bible time that I've been neglecting lately. Because I only get one shot at raising my children. And some of you are the same boat I'm in. You see, all that other stuff doesn't matter. And at the end of the day, here's what I want you to understand. Cream's going to rise to the top. It didn't matter when Bryce Harper started playing baseball. Guess what? He's going to be in the pros. Yeah. I've already told my children, they're not going to play pro sports. I think Joseph kind of understood it. Ty's a typical boy. He's like, I might. Well, you might. But you're not. We're past that. Here's a good chance. In fact, a 99.999, they're not going to make a perfect ACT score. Because when you get mine and Lori's score, I think we've got close to perfect together. Okay? And hers is higher than mine. We're past all that, we're not perfect. We've realized some stuff that happened. But then we get caught up in all stuff still. So here's the thing, next few weeks we're going to look at this. We're going to look at individual stuff. Maybe you're chasing some of that stuff, and maybe God is speaking. This is what I want to get today in the close, the day you get bigger, is this. Nothing in life matters without a relationship with Jesus. It just doesn't. I'm not working.
Ready.
Far from it. I have battles every day. The same battles you have with insecurity, with fears, with all those things. And a verse that's really helped me this year has been this. Cast all your cares on Jesus. He cares. And we're so prone to this. Because this is me. And I'm a pastor. I don't want to bother Jesus with that. But he wants to. Everything. If you're scared, tell him. If you're anxious, tell him. If you're jealous, tell him. If you're mad, tell him. If you're chasing idols, tell him. Turn it over to him. Say, Lord Jesus, my kids have been my idol. But I got to get church. Money's been my idol. But I got to get you sports have been my idol. Pleasure's been my idol. But I want to give it to you. I can't lose it, but you can take it away from me. Maybe that's what you need to do. Let's stand. Pick up our last little. Put a thank you on the phone. He's going to play something. All of you know how we do it around here if you've ever been here. If you want to sing, he starts singing. By all means, you